Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on, brother?
Man, I know it's been like a month since we recorded, man, and I'm not going to lie, I have enjoyed this past month. I don't know if it's like that with you, but it's been nice not to really have to worry too much about getting an episode out or really too much worried about all this this Dynasty news that's happened over the past month.
Yeah, man, we've been busy too. Bought a new house, my family, and been real busy getting into it. And of course, it's the middle of summer, so we've taken a couple trips, and it's just been nice to kind of relax and do something other than like you said, kind of worry about Dynasty. But it's time to start worrying. We're going to be there 50 days, I think, 50 days from today or maybe yesterday. So it's coming.
I know. That's what I think today was the first official day of training camp, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so that's my first question, man. Just kind of starting this thing off. Are you getting back in the prime Dynasty mindset, or how much longer do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I'm rolling back into it. I made my first trade the other day in quite a while, and that's kind of jump-started me back into kind of taking a peek at some of my leagues. I kind of, like we've talked about in the past, I'm going to try to take it a league at a time. And when I finish with a league, I'm going to move on to the next one and try to, you know, make a few moves here and there. So I'm trying to get back in it.
Yeah, but that's the same way with me, man. I ended up making a couple of trades in your Yellowstone league and trying to get my team in the win now mode. I mean, somebody's got to compete with you at some point.
That's,
you know,
right. I mean, somebody's got to try to come get me.
I know. So like, I figured I'd make a couple moves and stuff, you know. But anyways, man, since it's been a month, let's just break down some of this this NFL news that happened. And so, man, as we go through this section, don't worry about being too much in depth or anything. I just got a couple of got about 8 or 9 new segments, and then we'll kind of talk about each one of them and just kind of keep rolling. So like I said, it's been a minute since we recorded, and there's been some recent news break that I want us to cover. Let's just talk about these news, I guess, stories and stuff, but also our level of concern coming out of it. Okay. So the very first news segment or news story that broke after we talked about it a month ago was Mr. Rob Gronkowski retires. And, you know, it hurt me a little bit in a tight end premium league. He was my tight end 3, I believe. So it's not terrible. I still got Gesicki and I think TJ Hockenson ahead of him. But just the fact that I traded for this man like 2 months before he retired kind of hurt me a little bit as a throw in. My question for you, though, Steven, I know that you don't own Gronk on any Dynasty league. I remember you telling me that last time. Does he ever come back?
I think he's done. Second retirement. We know Brady's probably on his way. I mean, I don't want to say he's done. It's hard to say, right? Because if Tampa Bay rolls this year and they get out to a hot start, who's to say he don't come back week 8, you know, week 9, week 10, week 16? Who knows? So it's Gronk. I don't think you can just rule him out. But I don't know. I think he's done, but I would not be shocked if he comes back. I'll just say that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am as well. Like, I think Gronk's he's getting so much focus on his business aspect now to where he doesn't really have much time to think about football. And honestly, let's just be completely honest. He has made his money in the NFL. And honestly, he ranks up there as one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game. I would say at least top 5. I know he's right on up there with Antonio Gates, Kelsey, all of them. Yep. And so with this, I'm the same way. For me, honestly, I got him in a tight end premium league, like I was saying. I'm still holding on to him just for the next couple of weeks, just until I get in a bind in my bench. But as far as right now, I'll hold on to him, just kind of see how things play out. With one man retiring, though, somebody's got to fill his shoes. And so with that being said, Mr. Kyle Rudolph signs as the tight end in Tampa Bay. So if you had to put your money on it right now, Steven, who's your tight end 1 in Tampa Bay? Is it him, Cade Otton, or is it Cameron Brate?
It's going to be Cameron Brate. I think Rudolph does some things good, and he may get in there and maybe catch a touchdown here or there. He's definitely red zone dependent, touchdown dependent. I think I don't think you really want to own any of them though. And, you know, my opinion. You know,
I agree.
They're not going to feed the tight end, I don't think. So But if you're asking me, you know, who's the one, I personally think it's going to be Cameron Brate.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. For me, I ended up, you know, there's all this hype right now, people saying that Otten could end up getting a job. For me, I don't think that they're going to throw a rookie in there with Brady.
Yeah.
I honestly think that Brady will end up getting the PPR points. Like you said, I think Kyle Rudolph will end up being the red zone target. But even with that, I think Brady's going to end up looking for Fournette and Mike Evans' way to where you're not really even going to have many shares end up going Kyle Rudolph's way. For me, I'm not adding him in a tight end premium league. I'm just going to let him kind of sit there and be a roster clogger for somebody else.
Yep.
Man, it seems like every single news the past month has been about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep, here we go.
Man, so before we get to the Julio news, a couple weeks ago it broke that the Bucs coaches were unhappy at Leonard Fournette being 260 pounds on his way into voluntary workouts. But I noticed today Sleeper came out with a notification saying that he had dropped to 245. Is this weight a concern to you, or is it just something to where you think it's just beat riders just being beat riders?
Nah, that's just – it's not a concern. Fournette will come in. He'll be ready to go. If he's not ready to go week one, he'll be ready to go week two or three or four. He'll be fine. I'm saying he'll be – I don't think it's a concern at all. Fournette's professional, and, you know, Brady is a perfectionist. He'll have Fournette ready to go, and I don't think it's a concern at all. That's just that winter weight. That's that bear weight. You know, they bulk up in the offseason, they'll lose at training camp and then OTAs and then, you know, obviously spring in the preseason. So I think, you know, I think it's a non-story.
Yeah, as long as he don't become like Kelvin Benjamin or Eddie Lacy, I think he's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think he's that guy, but, you know, I could be wrong.
So. And that's the thing. I think Fournette still finishes as a fringe RB1. Mm-hmm. I'm still happy to have him on my dynasty team, honestly.
Absolutely happy to have him.
And so maybe it was one of those things where you could have ended up just trading like a second or something and going out and getting him for your win now team. Who knows?
You should have got him. He definitely should have been a buy, you know, with that when the Bucks traded for him or when they picked him up, he was a buy for sure. Because he lost a lot. He lost a lot of value at that moment, and he's kind of ever so slightly just built himself back up to that, you know, fringe RB1. So I think you should have bought him. I don't think he's a buy now at his price, but that's probably another story for another day.
Oh yeah, and dude is a PPR machine on that team too, man. Yep. Brady loves that check down.
Yep.
All right, so another set of news, something that broke just recently, like 2 hours ago. Something I did not expect to happen, and honestly, I do not know how I feel about it at all. But Mr. Julio Jones, old man Julio, signs with old man Brady with Tampa Bay. And for me, we texted about this earlier this afternoon. I saw the tweet go out from Adam Schefter saying that he had ended up signing before Sleeper broke the news. And so what I did is I'm in a redraft league with fellow league mate Robbie Harris. And I went in there and I dropped Nico Collins, added Julio Jones just to be safe. And honestly, he's my wide receiver 8 on my team. So I felt like I could take a shot. For this, man, my question for you is he worth a stash? Because we talked about this, I think, last episode. he talked about just how, you know, we're kind of out on him. Do you think he's worth a stash now?
I think he's worth a stash. I don't think he's worth very much other than a stash. And I think he's a non-value. You'll never start him. If you do, you're in a lot of trouble unless there's an injury to Godwin or Evans. And then I think, you know, he obviously would get a bump then. But with that team intact, with Evans and Godwin intact and Fournette there, I think him and Russell Gage are probably a platoon for that wide receiver 3 spot. Mm. And it just doesn't – it's not going to give you any fantasy value at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. My way of looking at it is if he's my wide receiver 8 on my team, like you said, he's probably never going to touch my lineup. Right. However, if you're in a best ball league, I would probably just add him for that 1 or 2 touchdowns that he'll probably end up scoring this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Brady likes to spread that ball around, man, especially if Chris Godwin starts on the PUP or ends up being a week 1 injury on the injury report, then that may be a little throw in there. Who knows?
I agree.
Maybe looking at like a Sammy Watkins where he has a week 1 touchdown, don't do nothing else for the rest of the season. Yep. So another news segment that came out was that scary Terry McLaurin went out and got the bag, man. Ended up signing a contract extension for 3 years, $71 million with the Commanders. And so my question for you is this, man. How do you feel about Scary Terry right now? Is he a top 15 dynasty wide receiver for you, or is he still in that wide receiver two category?
Oh, man. I'm not as high on Scary Terry as probably the Twitter is. I think there's a mixed bag on him, right? Yeah. I mean, I think there's people that love him, that swear by him. And then I think there's people that really don't think he's good at all. And then I think you got people like me who's probably middle of the pack on him, think he's a good player. Don't know that I'm wide receiver one on him. He's fringe though, right? Like 15 yeah. feels right. You know, 15 feels good. I feel good about saying that he could be that. There's just so many good wide receivers in the league. And it's really hard to be in that top 12 category. For me, he's probably a fringe. Right there at 15-ish is probably pretty good, you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly how I view him. For me, man, Washington has some decent wide receivers. I know if Curtis Samuel can get back healthy, Jahan Dotson's been making a lot of headlines and stuff. But you have Carson Wentz throwing you the ball. And so, honestly, for me, the best comparison I can give for Terry McLaurin is DJ Moore. DJ Moore is an outstanding athlete. He is fantastic. However, he has either been allergic to the end zone or ends up having somebody like Sam Darnold throw him the football or Baker Mayfield. And so with it,
easy,
man.
Easy on Baker. Easy
my bad, my bad, my bad. Baker but I throw them two in the same category, though, even up there with Devontae Smith. I think with them, they got the talent, Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, Devontae Smith. But as far as being that wide receiver one for your team, I really wouldn't trust any of them, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
So speaking of Baker, Baker ended up getting traded to the Panthers, man. And that was a it really wasn't that much of a surprise. I figured Baker was going to get a starting job somewhere, either there or Seattle. And so they're coming out right now and saying that there is a quarterback competition right now between him and Darnold. Do you think that's true? Or if you do, then who do you think wins it?
Man. I think Baker's probably better. I like Baker. I've always liked Baker. I think he's a gamer. I like the attitude, the swag he brings, even though he's, you know, he's not been great at times. But we talked about this on one of our previous pods. I really think his injury set him back this year.
Yeah.
I think he's just a gamer. And Darnold, I think he could be good, but I just don't know. I'm kind of tired of waiting. You know, I'm kind of tired of waiting on Darnold to be good. And I like Baker more. So. I think Baker's probably better. I wouldn't be surprised to see Darnold start the year because he's had a whole year there. He's probably more knowledgeable about the offense and things of that nature. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Baker grab it from him, and I definitely wouldn't be surprised if Darnold starts that Baker doesn't grab it before the year's over. So that's kind of where I sat on it.
Yeah, and for me, man, like for me, Sam Darnold came out last year and put on a show, man, those first 4 weeks of the season. I remember I actually sent a trade request for someone for me to give up a 23 first to get Sam Darnold in a Superflex league. And all I can say is, man, thank God that guy rejected that trade. Because it's one of those things, man, to where, like, for me, I think the potential has always been there for him and Baker. It's just now, like, let's see if somebody can unlock that, you know? Because I saw a tweet that went out and said, man, if you would have told me back 4 or 5 years ago that Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold would have been playing for the Carolina Panthers and not that they got drafted and been on the same team, man, I'd be going nuts right now.
Yeah.
And he said, but now you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, you know.
Well, and you can't forget about P.J. Walker and Matt Corral, who's going, you know, I mean, they're still there too. They really got four quarterbacks going into the season here, you know. And of course, Corral being the rookie, I think P.J. Walker's probably going to get walking papers, you know. But
yeah, I agree.
You know, there's four QBs there, and before we move on from that, what about Matt Corral's comments today? I know, you know, we're from Mississippi, so it's a little bit relevant. Like, we got a lot of Ole Miss fans that listen to this. Did you see the comments he made today?
No, I missed it. What did he say?
Well, so they were asking him about him attending Ole Miss, and his quote was that he took the easy way out. I'll read the quote here. It says, "I took the easy way out because I felt I could play right away. he said about his decision to attend Ole Miss. Knowing what I know now and trusting my instincts and trusting my work ethic, I would have went to a place that would have made me compete. So that was Corral's comments today about where he chose to go to college. That's kind of
okay. So twofold. Number one, the state of Mississippi is about to go ham. So you got a lot of Ole Miss fans, man, that love Matt Corral.
I know,
For what he did for that, for the state, for the program. And so they're going to be upset. Number two,
I know.
Number two is this. What other freaking competition are you going to find that is stronger than the SEC, man? Like I get where he's talking about the concept of fighting for a job and competing for a job and like making him a stronger quarterback. But as far as playing against teams like State, Alabama, Tennessee, even whenever they had a good defense and places like that, man, like the SEC is stout. And
I think his comments were more not geared about the competition he was playing, but the competition that he had to gain the starting job at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I get that.
Saying
I get that.
That he knew he was a shoe-in. He basically had to battle who, John Rhys Plumlee. I mean, and he beat him out easily.
But here's my question though. Do you get more real life experience as a quarterback playing against tough competition or competing for your job at a tougher school?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's the tough competition probably made him who he was. I just think that's just such a weird comment for, like you just said, I don't know an Ole Miss fan. I didn't know an Ole Miss fan before those comments that didn't like that guy.
Exactly.
But now, I mean, he basically said I wouldn't have went to – if I had to do over again, I wouldn't go to Ole Miss. That's basically what he said. I mean, that's what he said. So,
man, you gotta watch what you say around the reporters, man.
I mean, it'll, that's literally, I mean, you can't really spin it any other way. He said if I had to do over again, I'd go somewhere else. So we do have some Ole Miss fans that listen to this, and I thought those comments were pretty interesting, to say the least. So,
oh yeah, just wait for next pod, and I'll tell you what Marcus has to say about it. I'm sure it's interesting. So we talked about Scary Terry getting the bag. Another person, man, Kyler Murray got paid on a 5-year, $230.5 million contract extension. Man, for me, I'm happy for the guy. I'll be honest with you.
Yep,
I know there was a lot of drama that went back and forth over the offseason and stuff like that. For me, before I ask you this question, for me, where he ranks up right now in my quarterback rankings in Dynasty is he's right there, top five for me.
Oh, yes.
I still got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert ahead of him. But as far as that fourth spot, I honestly think it is like a 4A, 4B, 4C between Lamar, Burrow, and Kyler Murray. For me, I think that a lot of people were choosing Burrow over Murray whenever they should have probably taken a step back and just evaluated a little bit more. I know there's a lot of scare and a lot of fear when it came to the offseason and dynasty startups. For me, or for you, where does he line up for you at?
With the new extension, he's four. I mean, I agree with you. He's solidly four for me. Like, you know, I agree with you in a sense that it could be 4A, 4B, 4C, but I think he's four. You know, I think I take him over Lamar and who were you just saying?
Burrow.
Burrow, yeah, Lamar and Burrow. So, before the extension, I could see right the opposite, right? I could see you going Burrow and Lamar over him because of the uncertainty, because if he goes somewhere else, he's not going to have Cliff Kingsbury. He's not going to have the air raid. He's not going to have the high fly, use his legs, run around, throw deep passes all game, throw 50 passes a game, you know. So, but with the extension, knowing he's going to be probably tied to Cliff Kingsbury for a long time now with that offense, I'm in on him at four for sure. So,
yeah. And my thing is, man, I love Kyler to death. I think he's a great athlete. What he can do with his feet, man, I don't really know of many other quarterbacks in the league besides Lamar that can do that. But, man, I'll be honest with you. I really kind of hope that over the next year or two, they kind of revamp his weapons a little bit. I know you have D-Hop, who is suspended for 6 games, who really is probably on his way out in the next couple of years, man. I think he's still got another year or two of prime left in him.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to end up kind of hitting that Larry Fitzgerald decline in the next 3-4 years.
He is. He's going to have a couple of good years, I think. But I don't think that he's he's going to be in that prime wide receiver one.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, man, they went out and got Marquise Hollywood Brown. So I mean, he's got a deep threat like Christian Kirk was last year. So we'll see how it goes. Another thing too, I know that there was it just broke, I think 2 days ago, that John Metchie, rookie out of Alabama, who is now the Houston Texans wide receiver, was diagnosed with leukemia. And he came out in a statement with the Houston Texans and said he likely won't play in 2022. First off, man, prayers for John Metchie. I know that that's a tough situation to go through. I think James Conner, didn't he fight leukemia a couple years back as well? Mm-hmm. But my thing is, man, if you got Metchie on your dynasty team, how are you feeling about it? Is it something to where you're just kind of holding on? You taking trade requests? What you thinking?
Ah, man, it depends on where my team's at. You know, I traded Metchie pre-news the other day on this subject. I traded him away pre-leukemia news. I traded him away because I'm a contender. And I think I told a couple guys this that have traded for him recently. I just basically said, if you're trading for Metchie, you're trading for what he's going to do in the future, not now. Absolutely. And he's still a future play. Like, you know, I don't think this is going to hurt his future value. As far as, you know, obviously if, you know, something goes bad with this and he can't beat it, which we all hope he does and pray that he can, I don't think it's going to really hurt his future value as far as him becoming maybe a decent piece in dynasty. But obviously we want just to pray for him to be, you know, healed and beat this.
Yeah. And that's my thing, man. I think he is an elite wide receiver. What he did at Alabama with Bryce Young, he had a fantastic season. I actually preferred him in a lot of those games over Jameson Williams, just from a PPR perspective. But for me, man, I think he's a long-term play, just like what you said. Now, let me get on my soapbox here for a minute, Steven. There's been in the past couple, I think the past week, there's been a lot of players go on the PUP list. And if you are listening here, number one, you should know about football enough to where you care about dynasty, you care about these injury reports and stuff like that. However, do not jump to conclusions when somebody gets put on the PUP list in preseason, okay? I know that J.K. – this is for our audience, but I know that J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Michael Thomas, Hollywood – I don't think Hollywood Brown, he got put on the non-active list today. But there's been a lot of these injuries come up in the preseason stuff. If a player gets put on the PUP list – in preseason or before preseason or whatever happened this past week, they can actually be removed at any point. Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
So just because you heard those news and stuff of J.K. Dobbins being put on the PUP, do not go out there and trade my man for somebody like Marlon Mack. Okay. Instead, take a deep breath, put him on your IR. If you got an IR spot, just pick up another piece off the waivers. If your waivers are open, sell that piece later on. Okay.
Yep.
Like it is okay. Take a breather.
Yep.
I wanted to just say that, though, because I saw a lot of people freaking out. A prime example of this was that CJ Uzomah was actually put on the PUP list, I think, 2 days ago. Actually came off of it today, reported a training camp. And so with it, like, you're going to have stuff like this happen all the time.
Yep.
I think the only player that I've seen that has been technically season ending has been John Metchie and Justin Ross for the Chiefs.
Yep, saw
and
that.
So outside of that, man, pay attention to this injury news and stuff, but kind of do your research as well.
Yep. I agree with you. And I think that, you know, people – and I think people try to make decisions based on, you know, to their – in their favor, right? I mean, and you know me, I'm a Saints fan. Like, you know, I love it. I love them. I'm diehard. But as soon as Michael Thomas was put on the PUP, you got people in every league, Jarvis Landry, wide receiver one, ? You know, and I'm like, okay, he can be great. And he could be the wide receiver one there. But Michael Thomas is going to be back this year. Like, I saw tweets today from several beat writers for the Saints that said, you know, Michael Thomas expected back soon, right? Yeah. And he's going to be available week one. Like, I would stake a lot on that. Like, right now, I would stake a lot that he will be ready week one to go. Why would you push him back right now and make him go out there and try to be ready for these off-season workouts, right? Or these, you know, I mean, why? What would be the point? You're gonna win a Super Bowl in off-season workouts, you know? So I agree with you. Don't just throw him away and go make a dumb trade because they went on the PUP list preseason here. So
oh yeah. And, like, I know for a fact, like, man, if people could have sold Jarvis Landry there for, like, a second or something, I imagine they would have they would have sold that.
Definitely, probably would have. Yeah, unless they're a contender, right? I mean, if you're rebuilding and you have Landry, you better sell, because he's one of those that's not a nice piece to have if you're a contender. But if you're rebuilding, yeah, you better start looking to move him. And I can't blame people that do that have him. I'm not saying they're in the wrong by doing that. I'm just saying that as the Michael Thomas owner, don't freak
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Exactly. The opposite side of the spectrum.
Yeah. I'm not saying that you're wrong if you throw him out there and say that. I'm not definitely not saying that. I'm saying don't freak out if you're the Thomas owner and
absolutely
and go move him for, you know, pennies on the dollar. So because if you've held him this long, then you probably just ought to hang on. So
yeah, exactly. Know, if you've held him this long, you've been holding for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you just need to hang on just a little bit longer just to see. So
absolutely,
and before we move on from this segment of news, I want to jump back to the Kyler Murray thing real quick, because I saw something today about his contract, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a stipulation in there.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
For 4 hours of film work per week, that he had to maintain or had to hit 4 hours of film work a week. So I don't know, what does that say about him? Do you think he had problems? I mean, obviously, maybe he did. If that's a stipulation of the contract, did he have problems getting all of his film work in? I really don't know. But I did see that. I thought it was just a nice little, you know, tidbit about that contract. So, you know, that could probably make him a better player. You know, I mean, at that level, the more film you study and learn, the better you're going to be. So if he's had a problem with film study, those contract stipulations will probably help him be a better player.
Yeah, I saw one of the NFL analysts actually tweet about that. It may have been Ian Rappaport or somebody else. They ended up saying that his hobbies seem to be kind of getting in the way. And so with it, that's why they put that stipulation in there. Basically just saying like, hey, come game week, you've got to spend 4 hours or however much time it was, and you have to prepare for that. You have to watch film. Yep. You have to be ready, know the playbook. Yep. And like, I think you could kind of see that a little bit in his play the first year or two. To where a lot of the plays, like, man, I'll look back at some of the greatest plays that he ever made, and a lot of it was improv. A lot of it was, hey, you know, D-Hop's down there somewhere, let me just throw it up.
Yep.
And so with it, I could see it. Like you said, it's going to make him a better player in the long run. So as far as dynasty right now, man, if I've got him as my QB1, I'm ecstatic.
I think, and I love Kyler. We've touched on that and already, and I'm not going to go back there again, but as you just said, I think you could see when he faced a really good defense, he could not. You could tell at times he couldn't go through. He couldn't go through the progressions, right?
Oh yeah, look at the LA Rams last year.
He looks lost sometimes, you know. And as much as I love him for what he can do, I think he needs work there. You know, he'll drop back in that pocket and kind of dance around and kind of pounce, you know, and do his thing, but you can tell he can't read it. He's not reading the progressions the right way, and he'll just go down, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's definitely part of his game that needs work, and probably not a bad idea by the Cardinals to say, look, do your work, you know, get better, be a better player. So
yeah, man, for sure.
We trust you. We're giving you this bag. We trust you. We want you to be our franchise guy, but do your part and put the work in, you know? So, I'm 100% on board with what the Cardinals did there to try to make him a better player.
Yeah, me as well, for sure. All right, let's get into this next segment. All right, so this next section I'm entitling it In or Out at Current ADP. All right, audience, y'all listen up, man. It is startup season. Everybody right now is doing dynasty startups. And so with that being said, ADP or average draft position for a player is starting to be more and more accurate. And so with it, what I thought would be a cool segment here is just for me and Steven to kind of look at ADP right now, where players are being drafted at in dynasty startup drafts. And honestly, just ask the simple question, are you in or out on these players at their current ADP? I do want to make a note that these ADP numbers do come from DLF Superflex ADP as of July 2022. So this is about as current as you can get without looking at sleeper mock drafts. And so, Steven, you ready for this, man?
I'm ready.
Awesome. All right, very first one, your boy, Dak Prescott. He is right now being drafted as the QB7 at ADP 9.75, the end of the first round, being drafted in a Superflex league. How
I think,
you feeling?
Just to make this you know, this segment kind of roll on. I'm going to go in, and I'm not going to give a whole lot of detail on why. I just think I'm going to go in here. Superflex leagues is so important, and if he's being drafted as QB7 at ADP 9, that tells you that lots of QBs are going early and often. So, you know, I think he's in the mix there with Kyler, with, you know, Russell Wilson, he's in the mix, you know, and we just kind of said that Kyler was ahead of Burrow, and I get that, and I agree with that, but he's in the mix right there with the Burrow, with Russell Wilson, and then him, you know, so I'm in on him. I'm just going to go there and say I'm in on him. So
yeah, and me as well, man. If I'm at the back of the first there, and you got your top four or five quarterbacks gone, and as well as your Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, then I'm absolutely looking at Dak, man.
Yep.
For me, I was in a redraft. I think it's the only redraft, or one of the only two redraft leagues that I'm in. I was in a draft just last week, I believe, and I ended up getting Dak at pick number 21 in a Superflex league.
Yep.
I got to pair him up with Pat. Yeah, I got to pair him up with Patrick Mahomes, and I was pumped about it.
Wow.
And it's one of those things, man, to where, like, I think Dak is being underrated right now. I think that consensus is that people are kind of hating on him as being a good quarterback.
Yep.
But I'm in as well, man. Honestly,
I think you're an instant contender. I think you're an instant contender with those two picks right there. You know, grabbing Dak in that round, you're an instant contender. So, I think you should be in on him late first. And if you can grab him mid second, late second, you've hit a home run.
Oh yeah. Like I said, look, not to brag or anything, but just listen to this redraft team right here. Okay. So Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, my quarterback, and my super flex. I went zero running back. So I ended up going Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen as my wide receivers 1 and 2 in a PPR league. I thought those two were hits, man. Ended up going T. Higgins and TJ Hawkinson, Hunter Renfrow as my second flex. And then my running backs, even though I went zero RB, I ended up getting Antonio Gibson and Miles Sanders. And so I am not upset at it. I think in the PPR league, I can make a run.
Yep, I agree.
Sweet. All right, the next quarterback on the list. We got four players from each position. So the next quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback, QB12, ADP in a Superflex league around pick 23. How are you feeling about that?
Man, it's very evident that at QB12, the QBs are flying off the board, right? But at an ADP of 23, that's late second. Yeah. I think I'm probably out right there. It just feels early for a guy that hadn't done much. I know he was the best protege since, you know, Andrew Luck, and coming in, and he was the sure thing, and I get that. But he's also playing for the Jaguars. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, I gotta be out at that spot. I'm just gonna be honest.
Yeah, and I'm the same as well. For me, having Trevor Lawrence as a QB1 does not entice me at all. I know the orphan team that I took over in one of your leagues, Trevor Lawrence is my 1, 2 is my 2, and I absolutely hate it.
You got young guys.
I know, but my thing is, dude, I think with Trevor Lawrence, the potential's there, just like you said, he's a golden child. But with it, man, I gotta see somebody prove something.
Yeah, I agree.
Third one on our list is Zach Wilson, New York Jets quarterback, QB20, ADP 41.
Yep.
Are you in or out?
I'm in. I got to be in. I've been a Zach Wilson guy since day one. We've done pods. You know this. I'm in on him. I like the guy. I like the player for more reasons than his football game now, you know. I'm just in at 41 in QB 20. I'm in because you're looking at back end QB 2 there, and I think he can be that for sure. You know, oh, yeah. I think he can definitely be a back end QB 2, and I think there's upside there for him and his arm strength and things to be all the way up, you know, to a QB 2, you know, at the top end of that, at the top tier. So I'm in at that ADP.
Yeah. So you're telling me that I can get Zach Wilson in the third, fourth round of a 12-team Superflex league and go ahead and pair him up with two young studs in the second, third round in a QB1, then I am absolutely all for it, man. For me, I think that team is going to be playing from behind a pretty good bit. And honestly, they have a great, great core there. Next, this is a player that I'll be honest. I'll go ahead and give my answer here. I'm out on this guy. Ryan Tannehill, QB 22, ADP 64. How you feeling?
Man, I've liked Tannehill. I always have. But, man, you just lost your wide receiver one. You know, I mean, I just don't know. I think they're going to lean more heavily on the run than they have in the past. That probably feels about right. You know, that probably feels about right about where he's going to be. Yeah. So I think it's probably a toss-up. And it kind of just depends on my team, right, at that point. But and what I've drafted and what's available. I'm going to go in because I think he can still be good. But I don't love it, but I'll say that's about right for him. So I'll go in right here on him at QB 22.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's just a personal preference. I'll be honest with you. Ryan Tannehill for me, if I'm in a dynasty startup league, I want young people, like young quarterbacks. I know that maybe a little bit of ageism coming out. But for me, I want to get that cornerstone piece for the next years to come. So that's just a personal thing there. Yep. All right. So moving on to the running backs, this guy here. All right. So Saquon Barkley, RB6, ADP 29. Are you in or out?
I gotta be out. And I like Barkley and I know you love Barkley, but I gotta be out. Just because I think that, man, he's just got to show me more, right? Kind of like Lawrence, like he's got to show me more. And the past 2 years have been a complete, basically wash fantasy wise.
Oh yeah.
So I think the talent's there. And I think if you're a believer in Barkley, if you're a Barkley truther, then you're definitely in on him probably right there. But for me, again, like you said about Tannehill, it's kind of personal preference. It just still feels kind of early for somebody who has not done anything for 2 years. So,
yeah. And I agree with you. For me, man, I like Barkley a lot. I think that he has the potential, man, to be a really solid running back. And I think that Brian DeBall coming over there, man, I think he's going to end up helping him out a lot. My thing is, however, I am not drafting this dude at around pick 29. If I'm on the turn there in the second, third, Barkley is not on my radar. And that's just me. It's my strategy that I go with. I actually looked up and I drafted him in the Walking Dead League. And back in March, I ended up getting him at pick 407 in a 12-team Superflex.
Yep.
And I was perfectly okay picking him there.
Yep.
But I am not drafting him in the third round at all. Next guy, somebody that you were high on, Alvin Kamara, RB17, ADP 57. Are you in or out?
I mean, do I have to answer? Like,
no, you don't. It's okay.
I'm in, bro. Like, for real, you're telling me that a guy that has the potential to be the RB1 in a PPR league, you're telling me he's being drafted as the RB17? Get out of here. I'm in. I'm completely in.
Yeah, he is being drafted in the late fourth, early fifth.
I'm in.
Man, it's just it's nuts, dude. Like,
I'm in. You're telling me there's 16 better running backs in the league in fantasy than Alvin Kamara? Do these people draft and watch football? Do they know the kind of player that Alvin Kamara is? I mean, I don't get it. I'm in completely
like,
in.
Like my thing. My thing is, I get the suspension aspect. I get that. But at the same hand, man, like you look at that dead zone around there at running back 17, 18. I mean, dude's being drafted around Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why would you not go Alvin Kamara there at pick 57?
I don't know.
But I agree with you there. Next one. This is an interesting guy, man. Kenneth Walker. I had no idea that he was going RB 22 at ADP 70.
God, I feel so high.
Dude, that's the same way. Like, I'm out on this guy. I'll be honest with you. And the reason that I'm out on him is because, like, I understand he's a high rookie pick. I get all that. But my thing is, dude is not even guaranteed to be the RB1 in Seattle. And not only that, but you're telling me he's going to be my RB2 on my team?
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, yeah, and let's just go ahead and kill two birds with one stone here and get this out of the way because Rashad Penny next on the list at RB 37, ADP 132.
100% in.
Like you just said, Kenneth Walker's not even guaranteed to be the RB1 in Seattle. No. So, yeah, out on Walker, in on Penny. Let's go. Move on.
Yeah, 100%. So, going into the wide receivers, Drake London, wide receiver 13, ADP 54, in or out?
If I'm win now, I'm out. If I'm punting for the future, I'm in. So okay. It's just kind of one of those things. Like, could he be something? Probably. You know, talented guy. Not probably going to do a whole lot this year. I mean, who's going to throw the ball to him? I don't know. Yeah. So out as a contender, in as a rebuilder, or a punter in a startup. That's kind of where I'll go with that.
No, I get that, and I think that's around the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Personally, at wide receiver 13, I'm probably out on him, mm-hmm. Just because there's other wide receivers that I like around that range. He's probably in that same category as like Michael Pittman and all of them for me. A great wide receiver two for your team. I'm just not drafting him as that fringe wide receiver one. Going with a vet next with Chris Godwin, wide receiver 19, ADP 61. How do you feel about that?
I'm in. I think Godwin has potential to be a wide receiver one. He's still got Brady for another year. And I know that this probably Brady's last hurrah. So there's a lot of up in the air about him. And I know Godwin's coming off the ACL. I get that. But, man, Godwin is good. Godwin is really good. And you're telling me that, you know, you could get him at wide receiver 19 at ADP 61. I'm in on him because I do think he's got the potential to be, you know, a back-end wide receiver one. So I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude averaged 17 PPR fantasy points last year.
Yeah. Yep.
And so for me,
he won me a lot of weeks last year. A lot of weeks.
That's what I was about to say. Like, hey, he was my wide receiver two behind CeeDee Lamb in a dynasty league, and he carried me.
Mm-hmm.
Next, your boy Michael Thomas, wide receiver 39, ADP 102. In or out?
I'm in. And I got my Saints blinders on. But again, you're talking about a guy that if he comes back and if he comes back right, has the potential to be a wide receiver one, you know, if he comes back right. So you're telling me that I can draft a guy at 102, wide receiver 39. I can get a guy there that has the potential that we've seen him do it before to be a wide receiver one. You better be in on that.
Yeah, and that's my thing. I'm in as well at that draft position. Am I in on the player? It's kind of iffy, you know.
Yeah.
I've been burned by him before, and so there's a little bias there. Yep. But as far as being at wide receiver 39 at 102, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
My thing is, you know good and well, he will finish the season better than that.
Oh, no doubt.
Last wide receiver on our list here, Gabriel Davis, wide receiver 40, ADP 105. Right around there with Michael Thomas. Which one are you drafting?
I'm drafting Thomas. I like Davis, but I still think, you know, is he an outlier? Are those couple of games where he kind of went off, are they outliers, or is that who he is, right?
Or is that the new norm?
Or is that the new norm? You know, so it's hard, and I think, again, it's kind of one of these personal preference things.
Yep.
There's Diggs is still there, and he's still the alpha. I mean, so I just don't know. I think I'm probably at that spot, if I'm drafting him as a flex, I guess I'll be in on him. Wide receiver 40. I guess it's worth a shot. So I'll say in.
Okay. For me, man, I know that he could very well end up being Josh Allen's wide receiver too, but I don't like Gabriel Davis. I ended up trading him in a rookie draft this year for Brandon Ayuk, and I was perfectly happy with that.
Oh, I'd make that move 100 times out of 100 times.
Exactly. I feel like him and Ayuk are kind of in the same boat there, man.
Now that Ayuk's got Jordan Love, that probably is not going to be able to throw him the ball, but I don't know.
You say Jordan Love?
I'm sorry.
Dude, you remember saying Trey Lance, man.
Oh, yeah, Trey Lance. My bad. Did I say Jordan Love?
God, compare Trey Lance to Jordan Love.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, my gosh. I almost made me vomit.
Well, I mean, I kind of put them in the same basket. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, dude!
I digress.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on.
This is not a tight end premium ADP here, so I just want to throw that out there. Travis Kelce, tight end 3, ADP 46, in or out?
Contender in.
This is just standard.
I know. Contender in, punter out, because obviously age. If you're punting right in a startup, and people do that. People punt for, you know, year two or maybe even year three. I think if you're punting, then you got to pass on him there. If you're in to win, I think you take him because very well could finish the tight end one again next year. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For me, I got Travis Kelce in one dynasty league. I ended up making a trade to get him. I don't think I've ever drafted the man in dynasty. I just know that my personal preference is I do not go tight end early. I end up always just waiting. Yeah. So I'm probably out at the ADP. I'll be honest with you. If he followed a little bit more, I'd probably end up picking him up.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz, the man of promise, tight end 6, ADP 86. What you thinking?
I'm kind of the opposite of you as far as when we're talking about drafting tight ends. I probably grab them earlier, but I don't play anything except a tight end premium or a start two tight end. So I know this is a little bit different because again, this list is kind of not based on that. It's based on one tight end non-premium. But, you know, for me, I'm taking him there, tight end 6, ADP 86. I'm taking him. I'm in.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. For me, I know Schultz had a fantastic year last year, and I know that Amari Cooper's out the door and stuff like that, but I need to see him repeat, man. For me, I just feel like that the tight ends that are listed above him, he is right there with Hockenson and a couple more. Man, I don't know what it is about Hockenson, but I think I would choose him over Schultz every day of the week.
Yeah.
And so it's just I like Schultz, but if he would have failed to like tight end 9, I would have jumped on that in a heartbeat. Tight end 6, I'm probably out on there. But like you said, though, it's just different takes here because you're always in tight end premiums. I'm just in a couple of them.
Yeah.
The next guy, I don't want to say it's my boy, but I've got him in like 3 leagues right now. Trey McBride, tight end 17, ADP 159 in a dynasty league.
See, I think I'm probably out here on this guy particularly, and it's going to be because of the situation. Not that I don't think he's a good player, but the situation is he's behind Ertz. Like, Ertz just signed a 3-year deal. They're using Ertz to win now. They signed Ertz to play now. So he's behind Ertz, and at that ADP, you've got Hunter Henry right above him, who had a really good year in New England, and you've got Irv Smith Jr. right below him, who – again, I like Irv, and I would probably be in on him over McBride. So again, I'm probably out on McBride right there.
Yeah, and that's my way of looking at it too, man. For me, if I've got him in a rebuild and can pick him up in a second round of a rookie tight end premium, then sure. But my thing is like if I'm drafting him as my tight end 17 overall, there's no way in the world that I'm doing that.
Right.
Not as my tight end too. Right. And then you got Austin Hooper at tight end 33. ADP is 229. How do you feel about that?
I got to be in, right? I mean,
I think it's just a value, man.
Yeah, the value at tight end, I mean, 33? Come on. He's going to finish ahead of that, right? I mean, he's got
to. I mean, who else is Tannehill?
There's not another tight end in Tennessee. He's going to be he's the guy there. Like, I mean, and Tannehill, we know – he will throw to the tight ends, right? Yep. Especially losing AJ Brown. You got who? Robert Woods now and Austin Hooper and then you got the rookie Treylon Burks. So
that's it.
I mean, and Woods is coming off the injury, so they've all already seen reports about Tannehill and Hooper kind of getting some extra work in together. Tight end 33 is just like you just said, it's a value thing, man. You got to be in there. And probably should be in earlier, honestly.
Yeah, Hooper's one of those guys, man. He is a sneaky, sneaky trade target right now for tight end premium leagues.
Yep.
I ended up trading him away in a deal that I had to get done with Adam in a tight end premium league. But for me, man, I think, honestly, Hooper has the potential to finish as a tight end too. Yep. I honestly do. I think Tannehill's going to target him early and often.
Completely agree.
Yeah, man, that's the it for the episode. What I want to do is just take time to thank our listeners at this point. Man, I know that we are few and far in between here at Legacy of Legends, but I just want to say thank you guys for taking time out of y'all's day and just listen to a couple guys talk about some dynasty stuff in a dynasty off season. So if you stuck with us throughout this off season, thank you guys. I also want to say that the chaos of dynasty football is coming, and so keep your pants on. Just be ready. And, man, we're ready for this season to start. Steven, you got anything else you want to say, man?
Man, it's great. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to kind of rolling and putting out a few more of these as the season gets closer. We know that there's going to be all the hype on Twitter about this preseason work that's coming. We're going to see fantastic catches on Twitter, and Corey Davis is going to make a bunch of them, and he's going to be a wide receiver one on Twitter. You wait, you watch. He's coming.
Man, that Twitter hype, dude, it's something else.
It's coming. All right, guys. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you.
Sweet, man. Appreciate you guys. Y'all end up having a good one.